Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Today, we're going to open up the phone lines because I spoke to a lot of people during the week, this last week, about what I do, and they mentioned they might have some questions. So I'm going to open up the opportunity for people to call in and ask subject questions, topic questions that aren't really about what I'm going to be discussing in the show today. So the number is 888-627-6008. If you have any questions that you just want to ask about relationships in general, feel free to do so today. Now, what I'm talking about today, when it comes to synergy, what really is synergy? It's about what we come together, what we create when we come together. We have personal power. We have spiritual energy. We have strength as individuals. When we come together, we become exponentially more than what we are when we're apart. We don't add 2 plus 3 to become 5. We don't even multiply 2 times 3 to become 6. No, actually 3 to the third power. What is it? Well, you know what? It's exponential. What we are increases and what we create increases to the third, fourth, fifth power when we come together in groups. That's even more powerful. So what I'm going to be talking about today specifically is ghosting. I'd never heard of this before. I was actually watching the news here in Phoenix. I'm staying in Phoenix for a while, trying to figure out what the weather is going to be like. I can't really decide. I was thinking, should I even bother watching the news? Because it's probably going to change. I heard one of the newscasters say ghosting is becoming a more and more popular practice. When we come back, we'll talk. And I went, what? And I turned off the TV. I thought, okay, they're not going to get to the weather anytime soon. I'll just do what I always say I hate to do. I'm going to Google it. Okay. Apparently, ghosting is completely cutting off another person. Phones, computers, email, even just being together in the same place physically at the same time, it is completely eliminating someone from your life and eliminating yourself, removing yourself from their life without giving them any explanation or heads up, no warning, no just complete absence. Whoa, that's pretty heartless. That's pretty cold. Yeah, ghosting. I didn't think that's what it was. It's a good thing I checked it out because apparently it's becoming more and more common. People are very comfortable. They're very confident withdrawing without any kind of accountability or responsibility to say, look, this is what I'm doing and this is why I'm doing it. Being able to block someone and remain completely anonymous makes us actually more likely to do and say things that will do damage to other people. If we know going into a situation that we can remove ourselves completely at any time, you know what? That creates a sense of entitlement as well, because it's already tough enough being with people in this country with the philosophy of freedom of speech. I have a right to say whatever I want, do whatever I want. You know what? That just makes it worse when you know there will be no consequences. I always tell people, synergy is about power. Relationships are about personal power and what we create when we come together. But people forget about responsibility that comes with that power. And they never even get to the point of accountability that comes with responsibility when we have to say to someone else or something else, I'm going to pay the consequences for the decision that I've made and the action that I've taken. Even if it's only in the form of words, a conversation, you know what? You don't even have to have a conversation. I was taking the train, the rail on the Valley Metro this last week, kind of observing people and having some social conversations, just dialoguing with different people about all different kinds of subjects and topics. There is a lot of impropriety and disrespect, confrontational behavior. And you know what? There's transit police. There are literally security guards on these different forms of transportation. They never hold the people who are on these different machines. God, it's just to hold them accountable. They don't ever say when someone is playing their music really, really loudly and saying all of the words in the song, half of them are swear words. They don't ever say, turn your music down. You are violating someone else's personal space and you're breaking the rules because, yeah, you know, it's not going to do any good. Or if there are people who are obviously chemically altered and they're criminally active, they're doing illegal things at those stations and at those stops. And I say to the bus driver, I say to the train operator, the rail operator, do you see what's going on? Their response is, yeah, but there's no point in trying to do anything about it. You can remove them, but they'll just be back in 5 minutes. And I thought, you know, I think part of the toxicity of that is that we have become antisocial as a society. We do not have that accountability, that sense of responsibility. Again, the number, if you want to call in and just express your opinion about this topic or ask me a question about anything else, it's 888-627-6008. Okay, now let's talk about something that we might not think about, and that is communication and our responsibility and our accountability for the power that we have when we come together in the form of logistics. Okay, when we communicate with people, what really is involved? Okay, well, we're physically together. Yeah, no, not anymore. COVID-19 exacerbated that situation. We're already physically withdrawn from each other because we have our electronic devices that say, I don't even need to call this person. I don't need to physically, you know, speak with my voice to them, with them. I'm going to go ahead and pull out my text message device, which is usually a cellular phone. Sometimes it's a laptop because then you can email. But a pseudo conversation is about that dialogue of back and forth and back and forth. How much of our conversation with another human being is just about the words, and how much of it is about something else? The human factor, do we think about that? Well, okay, let's start just with the words. How many words do we think about at a time? Studies have shown that we think about maybe at a rate of 200 words per minute because we don't think in words, we think in concepts, ideas and feelings. So when we have to put those thoughts and feelings into words, that's a lot of words. Okay, so let's just say then we're thinking about 200 words a minute. How quickly do we talk? Well, unless we're talking about it averages at about 180. Yeah, so we can, but most people they hover around 160 because they're just not used to talking anymore. Okay, so that's all right. We'll go ahead and give that sort of margin of error. If we're not always saying everything we're thinking, someone could misunderstand, someone could miss a point that we're trying to make, but it wouldn't necessarily be their fault because we haven't completely communicated and transferred our thoughts into their minds. Okay, so we got a little margin of error there. Well, how much do we hear? Now we're not always hearing as much as we're saying the other person is saying. So if they're saying it's between 130 to 150 words, well, you know what? That's only about 20 words less than what we're saying. But what if they're the important words? How responsible do you feel to say periodically, okay, did you get that? Did you understand that? Do you agree with what I'm saying? And if you don't, what are you thinking that might be a cause for potential friction, conflict in the future? Well, okay, so if you're only hearing maybe about 130 to 150, well, maybe 120 to 140 words a minute, how fast do you read? Ah, so if we're texting, we're not even speaking anymore. You know what? People only read about 80 words a minute. Okay, well, you know what? If you're thinking, let's just go back to the beginning. If you're thinking at about 200 words a minute and you're only reading, you're texting, or you're only reading about half of what someone else was thinking. The worst part, the scariest part, in my opinion, is how fast do you text? Well, okay, that brings up two issues. Number one, Do your fingers move that fast? No, they don't. And the phones now that often have the auto repair, auto fix, auto correct, I couldn't think of what it was called, that can often look like, well, that was close enough to what I was thinking. Now, what's the real difference if it doesn't give 100% accurately what I was thinking? It makes a huge difference because the potential for misunderstanding, again, is way too huge. That opportunity, that potential misunderstanding, it's not really going to be anybody's fault simply because logistically they're not getting the whole message and you're not conveying the whole message. And I got to tell you, one of my personal pet peeves, one of the things I hate most, is when the autocorrect, it turns me into a retard. I mean, it's nowhere near what I was even thinking. And then I have to backspace and get frustrated. And you know what? Fine. You know what? Some people, they just talk into their phone because texting and reading and the delay of time, it's just frustrating to everybody. So good enough is good enough, but you know what? It's not really good anymore. Okay. So the number again, if you want to call in and ask a question about this topic or share your opinions, I'm opening up the lines again today. The number is 888-627-6008. We're going to take our first break. And yeah, this is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Today, we're talking about ghosting and communication with people, with each other. It's scary to think about how much we don't convey and we don't communicate. Our thoughts and our feelings are complete concepts, but our words are simply the pieces that we put together to convey those thoughts, those feelings, those concepts. When we have the opportunity to be with someone else and to transfer what we are experiencing to them and help them to experience it, there are potentially a lot of things that can go wrong. And at the last segment, I was talking a little bit about how much we think and how much we feel. Well, how much are we genuinely able to communicate to someone else? Well, not as much as maybe we would like, but thinking about that too, when we are saying things, we add the human element. We have another factor as beings, live beings, that technology doesn't afford us that opportunity to share with someone else. We have, just in our words, we have things like sense stress and modulation and intonation and inflection. That's not only the volume, but then we have the pausing. One of the examples I like to use is two words, just two words. We can say, would you? Okay, well, would you? That was just, let's change the sense stress. Would you say, would you? That's not the saying. That's saying, you know what? I don't really trust you. Then there's, would you? Which is a way of saying, I'm justified in what I've done. Then there's, would you? Which is, please help me, because I would really appreciate it, but I'm scared. What, look at that. There's only two words. You can convey three different concepts. Now, I know everybody has their own way of speaking, but there are consistent patterns in human communications. Again, just to remind you, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to reach out to me during this hour. And also, if you are listening maybe to the archive of the show, I'll let you know too that there is an email address that you can share your questions with me in. It's thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Okay, so when we're talking about communication and not only the way that we speak, the words that we choose, but the way we say the words. We're talking also about facial expressions and our gestures, our body language. We have to know how to interpret different people. And I tell my clients, and I even tell friends and family who come to me for help, they actually say to me, I love this person, but I can't be around them. They would love to do something like ghosting. Well, only for a moment, because again, being separated from each other in that extreme way is not natural. We do want to be together. We do feel an urge to take care of each other and to resolve our problems and our issues. Because, yeah, we all do genuinely want peace. Do you want peace? Yeah, even if at some point you're very uncomfortable in a situation and you would just say, you know what, I want to get out of this. You still need to make sure you get it right with that person, because even if you eliminate them from your life for the time being, at some point down the road, you could cross paths again. It's important to leave things on good terms, even if the stupid cliche, agree to disagree, is the last resort. That means that you have genuinely left things on positive terms. There is no neutral energy. I constantly remind people, there is no neutral energy. It is either positive or negative. And one of the examples that I like to use is vengeance. Well, you know what? When we get very upset at each other and we say, I'm going to hurt you because you hurt me, or you know what? I'm just going to be completely absent from you. That's still negative. Some people would say, you know what? Absence is neutral. No, it's not. It's negative. And a lot of people would only do something like that. They would only utilize something like that when they want to be vengeful, vindictive, and say, I'm going to do something to you because you upset me so much. This is the kind of treatment. Okay, we'll call it treatment that you deserve. That's not true. Okay, so now we're thinking about the elements and the factors of good and evil. That's really good or bad. People don't even want to use the word evil. But when you're hurting someone else, that's not just bad. Okay. Now, people don't want to do what's good. They don't want to do what's right because it's tough. But the fact is, when you really think about it, what you can do with good is conquer evil. You can actually make things better, not only for yourself, but for the other person. And maybe you didn't think about this before, everybody else around you, because again, energy is contagious. And that's the foundation for synergy. Good is tough, and you have to make a lot of sacrifices, and you have to work very, very hard, and you have to stay focused. But when you have goodness in you, and you have that sense of accountability that you might not have if you're in a social forum like a technological one, you know that your goodness will affect other people, and it will empower them to do things that are good that they might not have done before. The good thing is, people are either going to participate with you to propel that good, or they're going to withdraw simply because, you know what, it's exhausting continuing to be bad when there's something good in front of you, around you, because you know that the only way you can continue to be bad is by having that support of other people who then say, yeah, I'm going to be bad too, and I'm going to propel and perpetuate this negativity. You know what? People who are good, they're content and they're satisfied, they're happy and they're fulfilled. They can have peace, and other people want that peace. If they don't, they'll go away. When you have that understanding of the dynamics of goodness, you are more likely and more resolved to continue to do the things that need to be done. Yeah, even if they are more work, even if they do take more energy, they're more demanding. But again, they're always worth it. And again, the number to the station here, if you want to call in and ask a question or even make a comment, the number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so when we're talking about Something like doing a good thing, doing the right thing. You know what? It's about discipline. All it really is about discipline. When you have that personal power to continue to perform on a higher level. Well, you know what? When I was a little girl, it kind of bothered me that discipline always meant punishment. You know, it's not. If you have personal discipline, you don't physically harm yourself. It does not have to be corporal punishment. Let's talk about the dynamics of discipline. One of the greatest lessons that I learned when I was a young girl was ballet, dancing. Yeah, I learned music too. That was tougher for me. But the word that I heard a lot in my dance class was discipline. That was about having the power to keep yourself performing at a certain level. It actually just means instruction, being taught. When you have the training and you have the practice, you actually put the time and effort in, your performance improves. You have power to do more things, more difficult things, more successfully and more beautifully. That gives you the grace and it gives you the flexibility and the endurance that you need to continually move your body in a way that's going to bring pleasure to the people who are looking at you. And yeah, admiration and appreciation from people who say, "I can't believe you could do that. Just watching you was inspiring to me. You make me want to do better things because you put me in a good mood and you made my mind wander and wonder what kind of great things people in general can do, including myself." There's no way they're ever going to do what you just did, but in other ways, in other facets and other forums in their life. Yeah, again, that good is contagious. And we love to do stuff like that with people, around people, because you know what? The dynamics of social energy, they're fascinating. And yeah, they're complex, but they're also very worth the time and the effort. One of the toughest things for people to overcome, to truly conquer with their positive energy, is the negative energy of anger. Well, yeah, you know what I always tell people? It's very important to feel the anger. You cannot ever say, "I don't feel angry," because that's only weak people feel angry. No, actually, weak people do not accept their anger and they do not know how to channel their anger to actually give them the extra strength and the extra energy that they need to continue not only doing what they're doing, but do it in a better way. There are a lot of things that can help them with. They just need to understand it a little bit better. So we're going to take another break. And again, if you have a question or a comment, the number is 888-627-6008. And it doesn't even have to be the topic that we're discussing today. If you don't want to, that's fine. You can go ahead and have your own question or comment just about synergy and relationships in general. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about this, being honest with yourself. Where are you in your life? We'll be right back. This is The Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. And if you have a question or a comment, again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Okay, so today we're talking about something called ghosting and how cold it really is. The fact that it's a more and more common practice doesn't change the fact that it truly is toxic, not only to you, but to the people that you do it to. If you ever use something like that, it's complete abandonment without any explanation. It's not only cutting someone off, but blocking their ability to reach out to you and say, "What's going on here? Let's figure out if there's a problem, how we can resolve it." Even if it's agreeing to disagree, yeah, you know what? We need to leave on some kind of amicable terms that we both feel respected and appreciated as people. Good is always more powerful than evil. And we need to be empowered and responsible and accountable for everything we say and do with, to, for, and around each other. Okay, so now one of the things that I was talking about in the last segment was taking an inventory of yourself, really truly being honest with yourself. You know what? That's tough. And I remember as a very young girl, one of the most defining moments in my life was when my father took me aside. You know what? We were kind of disagreeing about something, but it started to get pretty scary. And he just got very serious and he changed the subject completely. He said, "Honey, you need to be very careful. When you lie to strangers, you're going to lose out on a lot of opportunities, a lot of relationships, a lot of good things in your life are not going to happen ever because you're blocking those people from entering your life when you lie to them. When you lie to friends and family, you're pushing the most important people out of your life. You are going to die alone." But when you start lying to yourself, that's as bad as it gets because then you start believing your own lies. When you believe your own lies, you're a goner. It is over for you because you don't even have yourself left. You may as well just pack it up. And I went, "Oh my God, it wasn't even that big of a lie." In my mind, what I said, oh, it was true enough. Yeah, no. Actually, when he said that to me, the conversation was over, and I thought, maybe I need to think about this a little bit more. How often was I lying to other people? But more often, how often was I lying to myself, actually starting to believe the things? Because that was what I used to justify saying and doing the things that I did. I was rationalizing that behavior, saying, "Well, you know what? I did it for a good reason, or the end result was good. Yeah, it was even good for them, so it was okay to do." Wow. And so then after that, when I was starting to do it, I was like this little voice in my head saying, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Dang it!" I had to stop. And it was funny because as I went through my life, things like my religious organization called our practice the truth. And when I had kids and there were things that I didn't want to deal with, there were things I didn't want to do. And I would try, you know, just to start to maybe, you know what, maybe I needed to not tell them something. So it was just a secret. Okay. I would tell them and they would look at me and go, "Mom, you are a horrible liar," because it's all over your face. How often do you know, first of all, the truth about what's going on in your heart and mind? And then, just as important, how often do you share that with people, truly giving them the accurate information that they need to know? So when you take an inventory, let's just start off with the basic things in your life. How much of what you do is with technology that actually, that social media has made you more antisocial? How much of what you do in your life do you truly need to do? Because technology gives us this idea that we need to do more and more and more and more and better and faster and better and faster, more and more. How much do you genuinely need to do? Okay, well, maybe you don't even know simply because you've gotten into the habit of going so fast and creating a habit, the routine maybe in your daily life where, yeah, there's a lot of things that you think are important, but they're not vital. So when you think about that, be honest with yourself and say, how much of what I spend 16 hours a day, because you only need to sleep about 8 hours a night, how much of what you're doing with people, to people, for people, around people, isn't really social interaction. It's not personal interaction. It's interaction once removed. It's through some other venue. So you really aren't accountable to that person. You're not responsible for what you say in the same way that you would be if you were directly with them. Okay, so you know, those are just general questions, and you might not know the answer right off the top of your head. That's okay. Think about the times in your life when you go, okay, I wouldn't necessarily have to do this activity if I just removed this one errand or this one practice, this daily practice. That, how much would it really hurt my life? Would it affect my life irreparably? Would it be irreparable to stop doing this thing, or even to change doing it, maybe including someone else and having that personal interaction with them? If you spent less time doing fewer things, that would actually let you slow down. And that's another thing. We really need to know how much of our health is based on our relationships, which really is going to affect how much we do and the way that we do it. You know, I think in the next segment, we're going to be talking about love, but we're also going to be talking about really specifically that kind of social accountability. And I want to explain to people that there was a show, it was a very popular show for, I think, 11 years it went on. There was a man who was in love with a woman. He was secretly, passionately in love with her, and yet she had no idea. Yeah, I have a hard time believing that, because she was a smart woman and she was an intuitive feeler. She knew everything about everything about everything, but she didn't know this guy was in love with her. Okay, first of all, how in the world could you not know? Because it was painfully obvious. And in the event that you had kind of a hint, a suspicion, why in the world wouldn't you talk about it? And then on his part, if you were genuinely in love with her, why in the world weren't you honest about it? How much of what went on between them was something, you know, just accidentally coincidental? And how much was passive aggressive? If you are not going to be completely honest with another person in your life, are you relationship material? But that all depends on how often you are dishonest with yourself, how often you are honest with yourself. You are never going to be better with, to, for, around someone else than you are with, to, for yourself. And I know this is a stupid cliche that I say all the time, that everybody knows that they know, but they don't think about it in the terms of relationships. Put the mask on yourself by being honest with yourself. Taking care of yourself is going to happen once you are able to look at and understand and accept that you have needs. And you know what? You might be pleasantly surprised to learn that other people, yeah, they're just as interested in helping you help yourself, right? Like, even if that's in the form of helping you become more honest with yourself, because people aren't judgmental. The love that we're going to talk about a little bit later is, there are actually different kinds of love. People want to be generous. They want to be helpful, and they want to be supportive. When you give people the opportunity to employ that special gift, the talent, the ability that they have to make you a better person, to make your life a better experience, they are grateful to you. Help me help you. Yeah, that's kind of cheesy too, but it's really true in the sense of daily life activities. When they make a sacrifice and you have become exponentially better, the synergy that you create with each other by being positive and helpful and loving and supportive is going to not only increase your quality state exponentially, but it will then continue to expand into your personal space, your environment, the people who are around you, and it will improve the quality of the work that you do. Let's say it's in an office setting, a business setting. When you are doing better things, other people will pick up on it and follow in line. If you know yourself and you have the ability to say, This is who I am, and this is how I work. This is what I need. This is what I want. To the people in your life, they can genuinely say, wow, I didn't know that, but thank you for telling me, because now I know that I have opportunities to make your life better, and the more joy in giving than in receiving will manifest in my life. So we have time for another break, but again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. We're coming up. We're going to be talking about love, the different kinds, right after this message, this break. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio, The Power of Synergy. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, again, the number to this station is 888-627-6008. If you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about today, go ahead and let me know. But we're also letting just the people that I spoke to earlier in the week, and some of my followers and some of my previous listeners, to ask general questions that don't necessarily have anything to do with this particular topic, because yeah, it's kind of expensive to hire a coach. So if you want to ask me something without actually having a session, I'm more than willing to help you do that today. Okay. So, and if you want to ask a question and you don't necessarily have time today, the email that you can go ahead and leave the question and a message is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Okay. So when we're talking about ghosting and the practice literally of stonewalling someone without any explanation or I can't even say authentication of what you're going through and their right to feel their own feelings, to get closure. And I can't think of any other word but heartless. That's something that's becoming very, very common. And I wasn't even aware of it until very recently. But apparently it's something that people are very comfortable doing with each other. And I really do believe that technology has undermined us. But it's also just the distance that COVID-19 has created between people. Not only has our physical space increased, but covering our face has taken away the human element. And you know what? This is where I'm going to talk about love. What is love? I've always said, I don't think English is a very good language simply because it doesn't really, how should we say, express and explain what we're going through in an accurate way. A lot of the words that we use are not very descriptive and they're not very accurate. And when we have the different people in our lives that we want to say things to, what we say is vitally important for them to understand. How much of what we say and how much of what we do is truly understood by the person that we're saying and doing it to, with, for, around. One of the very most powerful words in any language is love, because it's about our feeling. It's about what we're thinking and what we're doing, how we feel, why we feel, why we do the things. Okay, well, there's three different kinds of love that I like to explain to people. There's agape and philia and eros. They're very, very distinct. They're very, very different. A lot of people don't really know separate from each other what they are, because a lot of times they're intertwined. They do interact with each other. Okay. They interact very well with each other. And this again, I'm going to say the number to the station here, 888-627-6008. A lot of people don't really understand love, and they know that they don't, and they feel like something is missing. Why, if I'm feeling so powerful, these feelings are so powerful, why isn't it working out for me? Okay, so let's start with agape. Agape is just that consideration for other people and behaving in an unselfish way. Yeah, you know what? There's a scripture in the Bible. It's about what love is. It is unselfish. It's kind. It does not look for its own interest. It's very, very unselfish. That means that you are just going to do and be things that are considerate with absolutely no expectation of anything in return. When someone smacks your cheek, you turn the other one and say, go ahead, do it again. I'm not going to fight back. Okay, you know what? That used to be love. Now that is stupidity. That kind of behavior is actually frowned upon because you're being weak and you're being stupid. And you know what? You deserve to be abused. If you are actually saying to someone, you know what? You go first. You can have the last piece. You can do and say what you need to do and say. And even if it's inappropriate, I still wish no harm for you. I wish no bad for you. And if you need me to do something, it doesn't matter what you have done before. I am going to continue to do and be good things with you and to you and for you. Wow, that is really tough. Again, I used the word discipline before. Yeah, agape takes a lot of discipline. Okay. And we're talking now about philia. Philia is something that's a little bit more ambiguous because it's more emotional. Philia is very emotional, where agape, you don't have to have any emotions. In fact, you can even have negative emotions, but that discipline will take that negativity, the negative emotions away and say, okay, I'm going to do something without that negativity. But philia is a little bit more tricky simply because you can have very good and very bad and very intense feelings, and they aren't necessarily going to go away. It's not always about what you do. It is about how you feel while you're doing it. So when you think about how do you feel, philia is a love that is very passionate, but it's a brotherly love, so you can get hurt, but there's no romantic element. It's something that you would feel for a relative or a friend. Sometimes your relationships with your friends are more important than what you feel with family. Yeah, well, family is important, but you know what? You're dealt the cards that you get your hand with family. And sometimes you do have a relationship, a personal relationship, a connection with them, but sometimes you don't. So the philia is something that is very personal. Agape, again, it's universal, and you're going to do it and be it with everybody with absolutely nothing of an expectation. Yeah, no, philia, in order to maintain that, you do need to have some reciprocity. You do need to work to maintain and sustain and propel that energy between you and the other person. Okay, so when we're talking about what's that going to be about, and sometimes the arrows comes in. That philia is really going to be about that connection with the emotional factor that keeps you bonded to that person. And that can transcend different things that are happening in your life with that person and around that person, because it's rewarding and it's satisfying and it's gratifying. And you need that person. That's the difference. When you have a need for that person as much as they need you, that's how you know it's philia. Okay, but then again, we've got the Eros. Eros is the sexual draw that you have for someone else, a romantic interest that is going to include something much more than just the time spent together. The Eros is a very powerful force. And when you have that in your life, when you have that inside of yourself for another person, you're going to do things and say things and be things that you never would with the agape and with the philia. because it is so intense, because it's the foundation for family. Yeah, you're going to do things that you need to do with that person to reproduce. It's pretty powerful. So thinking about the Eros and the Agape and the Philia, how much of your life do you actually spend creating love with people? And how much do you give to people? Take an inventory. Really reflect on your lifestyle at this point. We're going to take our last break. And again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Okay, so when we're talking about withdrawing from a dynamic, from a relationship, that could be a personal one, it could be a romantic one, it could be a professional one, cutting someone off completely, that's very, very inhumane. It's abusive and it's unnecessary. When you know that you have to deal with someone, there's an accountability there. There's a responsibility. When you have a relationship, it doesn't matter the kind of relationship you have, you are still responsible for your actions. And you are responsible to that person in the sense that you have to be performing, behaving at a certain level, because again, there are consequences. There will always be consequences for the things that you say and do, whether you want to accept it or not, whether you want to admit it or not. We've talked about a lot of different things that factors that go into human relationships. And as long as we have technology, people are going to have a hard time remembering the human factor. When we have a lot of devices that do our thinking for us, you know, our smart machines, they're actually turning us kind of stupid socially and delusional about what matters most when we are communicating, like the personal elements, the human contact, which we don't even have anymore. When we have eye contact, you can do that from a distance, but people are hesitant to do it because it could be misinterpreted. When we have things like our voice and the sense stress and modulation and intonation and inflection, a lot of people can understand more accurately things that are spoken than things that are written. Okay, so when we're talking about what really is the key to getting these things taken care of, where before we would say, I'm going to withdraw, that's it, I'm going to stonewall you and completely cut you off. Okay, so what would be a better option? I always say, well, got to go to the tip of the iceberg because there's a whole lot going on beneath the surface. I like acronyms. TIP is T-I-P. There are different elements, right, to conflict. There's the topic, there's the issue, and then there's the problem. Now, that can sound kind of complicated. And yeah, not everybody wants to think about that stuff, but it's important. It's not as difficult to grasp as you might think, simply because when you have that understanding of the different elements and how they work with each other and around each other and they affect each other, you can more easily clarify and understand. And then you can get to the solution, because you'll actually get to, I give you the different words, the source and the cause and the effect. Okay, so when we're talking about something that's perhaps very complicated, like why you didn't do your job correctly. This morning, there was a lady who was not doing well. I just wanted not a money order. I wanted to transfer some money. I wanted to wire my daughter some money. She could not even get the the pen you're supposed to, I guess there's a device that you're supposed to use and you have to have a special pen. She couldn't even get the pen, but she was getting so upset that she was fighting with the other employees. Well, apparently, because they had taken all of the things that were supposed to be put away and put them in her space. And she was very, very frustrated because she was overwhelmed, because not only did they create extra work for her to do, but they limited her ability to do her job by taking a device that is supposed to remain in a certain place. Okay. But what really is the topic? The topic is, I need my pen. Okay. But what is the issue? The issue is, she doesn't have the communication, right, with her employee partners, okay, her coworkers, to say to them, please don't do this, or where is my pen? She genuinely would not do what needed to be done in order for her to get this issue resolved. The problem is she hates her job because this was not a one-time thing. This is something that's been going on apparently for an extended period of time, and she is very frustrated. That's the real problem. The topic, the issue, yeah, the problem, because the problem is going to be the source. Okay, the source, then the cause and the effect. The source is the problem. She does not feel good when she is working around these people. The cause of the problem is they don't respect her enough and know what the problem is, what her problem is, to say, okay, we're going to take care of the situation in a different way. The effect is I can't, as the customer, get the work done that I need, or get the service that I need, because she can't do her job well. Well, you know what? Think about the things that go on in your life. How much of the things that go on in your life really are frustrating you, but it's because you don't really know how to identify the source of the problem. It's not about the topic. It's not even about the issue, because issues come up all the time. People are going to have issues about different things because the difference in people and the difference in elements and the difference in situations have a lot of factors. And so some things that would actually be a problem for someone else, you know what? That's not a problem at all for someone else. For one person, it's easy. For another person, it's really hard. The problem is, do we address how we think and feel in that situation? And I brought up anger at the beginning of the show. Anger is a very important, it is in fact a vital element to our lives as people, because anxiety is one thing, fear is something else, anger is something else. And now when anxiety is our body's way of telling us something could potentially go wrong, fear is something is really going wrong and I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm very, very paralyzed. Anger is our body's way of saying to us, yeah, something happened, something already went wrong, and I'm not going to leave you alone, and I'm not going to let you feel better until you fix it. Well, that's kind of overwhelming to us when we say, I don't know how to fix it, because we get stuck on the, is it the topic, is it the issue, or is it the problem? Ladies and gentlemen, the only way we're going to find that out is if we communicate. We need to communicate with each other to the degree that both people are comfortable with, to the extent that both people feel heard and understood and gratified and satisfied. That's going to create the positive energy when we come together, when we understand not only the source, the cause, the effect, the topic, the issue, the problem, but the nature of the person that we're with. And we're honest with ourselves about who we are individually, separate from that person, so that when we come together, the synergy that we create is positive energy. It will always be more powerful to be positive than negative. And you'll keep going where before you would give up. You'll continue to do the work. You'll keep going. Thank you so much for listening today, and share this radio show, this time slot, and really information that you get. I have a website, it's synergyrelationshipcoaching.com. But if you have questions that you want to ask, you're just not here at this time, or it's not good for you to do it at this time, you can go ahead and email again to thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. I'll talk about something else next week. If I get enough people asking about a certain topic, then I'll go with that. It was so great talking to you all today. Have a great next 7 days. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio.